Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Knicks down 22-10 to the Spurs with 6:05 to go in the first quarter here. They're starting to empty the bench now. Empty the bench sounds like an end of a game, but they're starting to bring in at least some fresh blood here, especially since Karl Anthony Towns, two fouls in the first 2 minutes. I mean, that is just another ugly start for Karl Anthony Towns. After a great start to the series, this might be another game that's going to be a lot closer to Game 3, which, by the way, Game 3 averaged 23.8 million viewers. It was the most watched Game 3 in 28 years and the most watched anything on TV since the Super Bowl earlier this year. Live sports, man, that's the only thing people watch live anymore. And, like, it's true, right? There used to be a point where, you know, a TV show was actually on. I'm trying to think of, like, the last show that was actually, hey, it's on live now, we're all going to watch it. Maybe Game of Thrones? I'd argue the end of Yellowstone might have been kind of in that. They had like 1 year of that, and then there was a delay in the final season, and then it was just kind of like, you know, they had a, you know, you're writing out a main character, and people would just go, okay, well, this is, you know, you don't really have that anymore. Sports are the only thing, and, you know, political events, debates, and all that stuff that just, you know, is what it is. But it's 25-12 now, Spurs up over the Knicks. Look, no lead is safe in this series. We've watched two 14-point comebacks over the first two games. Watched the Knicks come back in Game 3. But, you know, if the Knicks continue to play in this game the way they did in Game 3, it's going to be rough. This is going to be 2-2 heading back to San Antonio. They don't get it together. Again, basketball's a game of runs. The one thing I've known and learned watching more NBA games than I could ever count, game of runs, and it can happen very, very quickly. But, I mean, if you go back and look at the way Game 3 went for the Knicks, I mean, the one big thing about them is they moved the ball well over that 13-game winning streak, and really towards the end of the season, too. I mean, look, they struggled a lot offensively at times. Karl Anthony Towns didn't understand his role. He butted heads with Mike Brown at times. Like, all of that stuff happened, but they kind of figured it out. They had this level of chemistry. The Knicks were down 2-1 to the Hawks, and then they started running the offense a little more through Karl Anthony Towns, and they just found ways to get him involved, and it made a huge difference. Mikal Bridges wide open in the three in the corner and hits a three. It was a desperately needed three for him and for this team. But, I mean, Mikal Bridges had 2 points in Game 3. Landry Shamet was 1 of 8, and that guy's been lights out all playoffs. Karl Anthony Towns had 11 points. The Knicks had 18 assists. That's it. 18 assists is not a lot for a team, because that was for any team, but let alone the Knicks, second lowest total, those 18 assists in Game 3, second lowest total of the entire season. Playoffs, regular season, everything. Spurs scored 21 points off of 13 turnovers. I mean, it was a sloppy, physical, one-sided officiated game in Game 3. I mean, the Spurs had, what, 24 free throw attempts in the second half, and the Knicks had 8. And again, like, that's going to be something to watch in this, is you're going to have a spotlight on the officials' calls. I'm seeing now Wemby getting pushed in the back a couple of times here. The Knicks are having to go deeper to their bench right now with Karl Anthony Towns getting two fouls in the first 2 minutes. That's a major problem. I mean, now that he's in foul trouble, Hawk Porty was out there for the Knicks. That's usually not somebody you're going to see in the first quarter of a game, but you're not going to see Cat out there for a while. And he was a major factor through the first two games because they made it really difficult on Victor Wembanyama, because it was like, do you want to put him on Cat and then he's going to stretch him out? I mean, you see it. The minute Victor Wembanyama's out of the game, Wemby's out now, you've got Luke Kornet out there. The Knicks are going to attack the rim. You watch that and you're going to see it. The minute that Wemby is out of a game, that is what happens. And look, rightfully so. I don't care how great of a player you are. When you got somebody that's got that wingspan, that's already 7'4 and change across the board, it alters a game plan. You can't get to the rim. It's just almost impossible to shoot over a guy that stretches his arms out and he's 10 feet tall. And it makes it so difficult. Well, the Knicks are at least trying to attack the rim now. Mitchell Robinson got fouled, so that's maybe a free throw if they're lucky. I'll say this, too. I've been pushing this for a while. I think the NBA needs to implement some level of forced granny style. Like, when you shoot less than 40% from the free throw line, like Mitchell Robinson in the playoffs, He should be forced to shoot granny style. Can we make granny style a little bit more normalized? Like, let's stop shaming granny style, because you know what? In the end, if Mitchell Robinson goes to the free throw line right now and shoots two shots granny style and it goes in, does it really matter versus, hey, I got to shoot like a normal basketball player and he rims out the first one back rim? He can't shoot free throws. He makes Shaq look like Steph at the free throw line. I mean, when guys are getting intentionally fouled because they can't shoot free throws, it's not basketball. And we've seen that so often over the years with different players. Mitchell Robinson's one of them. I mean, it's almost just a level of impossibility how bad he is at the free throw line. He's going to shoot one more, and it's going to be regular. Let's see if he at least makes one. I mean, there's a certain point where it's just like, it's not working for you. Try something different. Clanks it off the back of the rim again. I mean, when Mitchell Robinson shoots a free throw, it's a line drive. There is no arc whatsoever. He clanks it off the back of the rim. For the love of God, shoot it granny style. Who cares? What, is somebody going to make fun of you with the free throw line? You know what I'm going to make fun of him for? Missing free throws every time that he's up at the line. It's unwatchable basketball. And then the Spurs will at some point probably foul him in this game and send him the free throw line. We've seen it in other series with him. It's awful. Forced granny style. If you shoot under 40%, I'd argue even under 50%. If you can't make one of two free throws on a consistent basis as a professional basketball player in the NBA, you should be forced to shoot granny style. They're bringing Karl Anthony Towns back with two fouls. He's got two fouls in the first quarter, and they're bringing him back. I know he got two in the first 2 minutes, but you might want to keep him out the entire first quarter. I also wish the NBA would add an extra foul. You should be able to foul out. Just add one extra foul before you foul out. Just one. I think that would be good. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of attack in the rim here. All right, 30-17. Knicks are up with 3:32 left to go in the first quarter here. And, you know, the NBA offseason, too, is... for everybody else, it's the offseason now. And, like, we're starting to get more and more of those Giannis rumors. I saw today that the Bucks are waiting on the Knicks to, because the Spurs aren't going to be involved at all. But the Bucks are waiting on the Knicks to wrap up the finals, however it happens. They're waiting for the finals to wrap up to see if the Knicks are going to be included in any trade talks. And I think that's still up in the air that the Knicks could get involved in a Victor Wembanyama just tipped it in. Spurs are up 32-17. Now, I think there's still a chance that the Knicks could be involved in a Giannis trade. That was the only team that had any actual engaging conversations with the Bucks in the offseason. And it wasn't overly serious, but... You know, for a lot of the playoffs, Karl Anthony Towns has been a big part of the Knicks' success, but there's a lot of recency bias, and there's a lot of, hey, what have you done for me lately? And if Karl Anthony Towns struggles the rest of these playoffs and the Knicks lose after being up 2-0, there's a chance the Knicks could get involved in this Giannis trade, and Karl Anthony Towns is a part of it. And it's the same thing with the Thunder, right? The Thunder lost in the Western Conference Finals. They were up 3-2. And they lose a game 7 at home, and they've got way more assets and way more draft picks alone than the Knicks are able to offer, and even more young players. But the Knicks may say, hey, this is as far as it's going to go, because we can tell, like, they got high standards there, right? That front office, that organization is high standards, because Tom Thibodeau got them to an Eastern Conference Finals last year, and they said, that's the ceiling, that's as far as this thing goes. And it worked. I mean, they got to the NBA Finals, and they at least won the first two games here, but, I mean, they've got to figure out whether this is going to be the long-term thing or not, because Karl Anthony Towns is going to be... We're talking about Jaden Daniels and his contract extension. I mean, that's a question the Commander is going to have to certainly think about as the season goes into... we go to next year, and he's eligible after 2026 and all that. The Knicks have to think about what this roster is going to look like. It's already massively expensive, and Karl Anthony Towns is going to be due an extension, and there were always questions about his fit. There were always questions about just this year alone with Mike Brown and whether or not he works with the coach. And that's still going to be a thing. And if he's not a factor the rest of this game and into the rest of the series, the Knicks are going to think long and hard about trading for... Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Honest. And now, don't get me wrong, there's going to be other teams that are involved as well. The Heat are definitely going to try to do what they can. Again, a lot of this is based on assets. Giannis has to want to sign an extension somewhere. So that's going to be the other factor. If he says, I don't want to sign an extension with the Celtics or the Heat and wants to go to the Knicks, he can kind of force his hand to a point. But, you know, is he going to want to go play for the Thunder? Because you can win a title with the Thunder, but apparently wants to be with a, quote, historical franchise, which we were trying to figure out last night on the show what that means. I mean, historical would be, you know, teams that have been around from the beginning, right? The Celtics or the Knicks or one of those. But if that's not the case, I mean, is it a team that has a lot of success? I mean, the Thunder would be that. So it's like Giannis has some level of control, and this is probably going to happen by the time the draft is here. And that's June 23rd. I mean, we are 13 days away from the NBA draft. Game 7 of the NBA Finals is, I think, June 19th, if this goes 7 games. And you got 4 days, and then we're going to the NBA draft, which is going to be, I mean, we know the hype that's around that draft. But the bigger thing to keep in mind, too, is that there are also big names that could be on the move. And if you're a team that's going to trade a star, a Giannis, I put Ja Morant in the star category, even though it's really been a while since he's been a real star. It's been mostly more of a headache, but he's in the conversation. And, you know, I'd even go a little crazier. What if the Lakers want to work out a sign and trade because they don't want to bring LeBron back and they're going to send him to the Warriors or something? I mean, the Warriors are apparently still at least trying to make that happen. LeBron and Steph and trying to go one last ride with these guys and just see what they can do. The draft is going to be the time that you want to make a lot of these trades. Now, the Wizards probably won't be involved in that unless it's, you know, trading down a spot. And I honestly, I would not trade the number one overall pick for Giannis unless he's going to sign an extension. And even then, it's like, okay, do you want to build for the long term or are you going to build for the short term? That's not even a possibility, so I'm not going to sit here and explain why that doesn't make any sense. But there are going to be other teams. I mean, the Thunder have 2 first-round picks that they could package together and then give Milwaukee 3 picks in the first round. You know, do other teams like the Heat get involved using that pick? Like, if you want draft, if you're the Bucks and you want draft picks for Giannis, which is part of it, right? It's going to be a rebuild. There's no better draft to get loaded up on than this draft coming up in a couple of weeks. That's where a lot of the talent is. And this has been a draft that's been hyped for a long, long time. And that's why, you know, you hear basically, okay, this is probably going to happen by the draft. But the Bucks still are waiting. They want to see. They want to wait and see if the Knicks are going to get involved in this at all. And it really depends. Like, if the Knicks win the title and Karl Anthony Towns the rest of the way, he's back to the bench now here too. Like, if he looks like a guy that belongs in this roster more long-term, they may just want to keep this thing together. But if the rest of the core stays and it's Giannis, Giannis is an upgrade over Karl Anthony Towns, especially defensively. So it's like, you're going to make that trade if you're the Knicks. I wouldn't be surprised, no matter what happens, if they still make that move, which would be wild. If the Knicks win a championship and then they trade for Giannis in the offseason, that would be a wild scenario there. But again, there's other teams that are going to be involved here too. Giannis has some level of leverage here, but the Bucks are going to try to get as much as they can back. Because they should, right? I mean, look at what's going on with, you know, even Brandon Ayuk and his situation with the 49ers. It's like, yeah, the 49ers, they're not going to get anything for him. But in their mind, they're like, well, let's see if we can get something. Like, I don't have a problem with any team trying to maximize their return when a star asks out. And I know Giannis hasn't officially asked out publicly, but that doesn't count. We know what's behind the scenes. We all know what's going on. Giannis can't come back. He's not going back to Milwaukee. There's no way. After everything that happened even at the end of the year. At the end of the season, it was like, I want to come back and play, and the Bucks won't let me. Oh, yeah, that's really going to work now. They don't want to. We all knew they were tanking. Like, Giannis says he's healthy. They won't let him back. The NBA's investigating. Oh, yeah, that relationship isn't completely broken. I mean, down the road, they'll probably retire his number and do all that. I mean, they'd have to. But, you know, the end of these storied careers with franchises sometimes can get, you know, it gets rough. And that's a great example of that. Knicks are down 35-20 right now with under a minute to go in the first quarter. The Spurs have come out ready to play. I mean, they are trying to steal back home court advantage. 37-20 now. Wemby in the post. No Karl Anthony Towns for the Knicks. Oh, God, and now Mitchell Robinson just got an offensive foul. This game is falling apart for the Knicks right now. The Spurs have all momentum. They're completely in the Knicks' head. Wemby just drew an offensive foul on Mitchell Robinson. Off the ball, by the way. Off the ball. This is bad, man. This ain't looking good for the Knicks right now, I'll tell you that. 41.7 seconds to go. The Knicks are down 37-20, and the Spurs have a chance to tie this series up 2-2, heading back to San Antonio. Oh, they just showed a replay, too. Mitchell Robinson threw a little elbow at Wemby coming down. So it was more than just him bumping into him. He absolutely threw an elbow. See, this is the problem right here. This is the thing. And Wemby, see, and he's now getting in guys' heads. And Mitchell Robinson's trying to throw a sneaky little elbow to his face, and he got caught. And now they're checking to see if it's a flagrant foul. This is a nightmare start for the Knicks. Just a nightmare start across the board. This is the last thing that you want to happen. But that was my point, right, is how are the Knicks going? How are the Knicks going to react for what happened in Game 3? And this is it, because now you're reviewing. If Mitchell Robinson gets thrown out of this game right now, I don't think you can make it. I mean, it's definitely, because he's going at it. You got Wemby kind of backing on him in the post in the play before, and then he hits that layup. So they're running down the court. They're showing the replay now. And it's definitely, like, Wemby's saying something to him. He's getting in his head. See, this is where the villain comes in. And he's doing it. And he's doing it well. Wemby's doing it well. And Mitchell Robinson throws a low bow. The elbow goes right up on Wemby's chin, and he got caught. I mean, you got caught. You're stupid. It looks way too obvious when you do that. All right, let's see what this actually turns out to be. They're reviewing it now. We'll see what it is next. Nick Ashew on The Fan.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
An absolute nightmare start for the Knicks at the end of the first quarter. Spurs 41, Knicks 22. The Knicks have gone through four centers to start this thing off. Karl-Anthony Towns picked up two fouls in the first 2 minutes. Mitchell Robinson clearly already has gotten Wemby in his head, because now Mitchell Robinson just got assessed a flagrant foul, throwing an elbow into Wemby's jaw, which he probably deserved it, but still got caught. That's not what you do. You're stupid. And the Knicks are now falling apart. This is going to be 2-2 heading back to San Antonio. I mean, this is a bad, bad stretch for the Knicks right there. And this is great if you're the Spurs, because you lose the first two games at home, which is, that never happens. Losing the first two games of the NBA Finals at home has happened twice. Two teams have won. The Knicks were the third team to win the first two games on the road in the NBA Finals. The Bulls did it in 93 and the Rockets did it in 95. Both won championships. So the precedent is certainly set for the Knicks to have success, but we're not looking at a spot right now where they're coming anywhere close to that right now. Wembanyama, after the first quarter, 13 points, 3 rebounds and an assist and a block in 11 minutes. 12 points for Devin Vassell. The Knicks on the other side of things, OG Anunoby has 7. And that's pretty much anybody that's done anything. Mikal Bridges has hit a couple of shots. He's got 5. It's all, I mean, it's just nobody has stood out for the Knicks whatsoever, except for, well, Mitchell Robinson missing free throws and throwing elbows, and Karl-Anthony Towns getting fouls. It's bad. I said this, right? Like, what is the mental side of this game going to look like? We've got our answer so far. It's the Spurs completely in the Knicks' heads, and it is a one-sided game. And look, the mental side of sports in general is, there's no stats, it's just body language and it's understanding human nature. And that's what gives you at least like a clue into what things could look like. And given the way that the first two games went, it felt like the Spurs were beaten down and the Spurs were tired. And they needed something to jumpstart them if they were going to have any chance in this series. And they played more physical. And they're already getting the calls really going their direction over the first two games anyway. They're just losing the game. We've seen it now. We saw Game 3, the free throw disparity. We saw the fouls that weren't called. We saw the physicality that was there. And yeah, sure, and people are like, oh, well, I don't feel bad for the Knicks. I mean, it's not about feeling bad. It's just it's just watching the games and watching the one-sidedness of these calls. Like, it's there. There's no question. But this is now the Knicks just playing themselves out of this series. And listen, this goes 7 games. We're all in for a blessing. 2 straight years of the finals going 7 games is great. OG Anunoby just hit a 3. He might be the only guy to do anything for the Knicks right now. But again, if Karl-Anthony Towns keeps throwing up these duds of games like this the rest of the finals, the Knicks are going to trade for Giannis this offseason, or at least they're going to try. Because the Bucks are waiting. The Bucks are like, yeah, let's actually see, though, how the finals go first before we collect all of our offers. Game 7 of the NBA Finals is like 4 days before the NBA draft. The Bucks want to trade Giannis by the draft, probably on draft night. And if that's going to be the case, yeah, this goes seven games, whatever. You're going to put the Knicks in a tight window. Let's play a hypothetical here. The Knicks lose this NBA Finals in seven games. They got a four-day window, essentially, to give the best offer to the Bucks, negotiate with them before the NBA draft. We know the Bucks are going to want to make that trade on draft night so they can pick the guys they want, have maybe, you know, multiple first-round picks in that draft and all that. You're the Knicks, you're just like, we're desperate. We don't have a lot of time to negotiate. We're up against the clock. They could just throw everything at him and say, let's get Giannis and let's go. And listen, he's an upgrade over Karl Anthony Towns. But, you know, Giannis has had some injury issues over the last few years. What's that extension going to look like? I mean, the Knicks are willing to spend the money. But, you know, teams will make desperate moves. Oh, Jose Alvarado's pushing Victor Wembanyama around. You knew this was going to happen. Jose Alvarado is literally down in Victor Wembanyama's waist. I mean, this is just the watching. Oh, they're getting tangled up with each other. He stepped over him like Iverson did Tyronn Lue. Here's the thing, though, and this is why I said Victor Wembanyama is playing the villain, but he's doing it in mostly a smart way. I mean, again, the Jalen Brunson throwing his head thing, that was bad, because then you got something to really target and the refs can see it. But most of this other stuff, are they going back to check another replay again? Oh my God, are they really going to review to see if he meets the criteria, Jose, for a flagrant foul? If this is a second flagrant foul in the first half of this game that Victor Wembanyama just drew, what are they going to call for a flagrant foul here? What, that they're tripping over each other? This game's out of control. I told you this was going to happen. So Jose Alvarado's trying to, like, Wembanyama's behind him. Jose Alvarado's, like, trying to post him up. So then, oh God, okay, now I see it. So Jose Alvarado is basically backing into Victor Wembanyama right now. Like, he's posting him up. Then Victor Wembanyama does the pull the table out, you know, when a guy's posting you up, or pull the chair out. I've heard both, you know, so then he falls. So then Jose Alvarado grabs Victor Wembanyama's leg and tries to lift him up like he's tackling him. The Knicks are imploding right now. This is an absolute meltdown. Everything they are doing is targeting Victor Wembanyama. That's it. This is why it's so important to have, you know, like, and it's in any sport, right? And it's why when we talk about, like, Brandon Ayuk with the Commanders, and you got to have somebody that's going to be, you can't have somebody that's easily manipulated mentally. Because if you can do that, you're already going to lose. You're already at a disadvantage. The Knicks are at a disadvantage just in this game mentally right now, because Victor Wembanyama is just twisting the knife. He's got 13 points in 12 minutes. He might already be drawing his second flagrant foul of the game. Karl Anthony Towns got in early foul trouble. And, I mean, this is, you're going to get the calls if you're Victor Wembanyama. And the NBA wants this to be a long series. And you're not, it's going to take a lot for Victor Wembanyama to get a foul in this game to be, you know, not, you know, so he gets, the NBA, the last thing they want is him getting in foul trouble. All right, let's see. They're going to give the announcement here. Is it a flagrant? We're playing a game. All right, here we go. Waiting for the official. Come on. Review the contact. Alvarado Wembanyama does not rise to the level of flagrant foul. Common foul. There you go. It's not a second flagrant foul. It stands after review. Man, he is so far in their head. And this is the last thing that you want if you're the Knicks, and this is exactly what you want if you're the Spurs. And, you know, listen, when you're at this point, and it's right, it's desperate late in a season, and you're down the first two games, after losing the first two games of the NBA Finals at home, you got to find some sort of advantage, anything. And if it's not X's and O's, sometimes it's mental. And this is exactly what you're getting here. And it's physical and mental, obviously. I mean, you know, the Spurs are, they've been getting in the Knicks' head the last now game and a half-ish at this point. But it's also been about how physical they're playing and seeing what's going to get called. Because what's happening a lot here, too, is that the Spurs are doing things that are physical. And then you're getting retaliation from the Knicks. And what always happens, it's the guy that retaliates that almost always gets caught. Almost every single time. And this is the perfect example of that right here. It's the perfect example. 48-25 right now. Spurs over the Knicks. I might not even stay up for this game tonight. I might just go to bed. I mean, really, what's the point? If this is what it's going to look like, this isn't basketball. Oh, but we missed the bad boy Pistons. Well, this is kind of what it was, except more tackling. I hate that. I really do. So there was a, I think we got interrupted before on this, but I posted about this the other day, too. So there were box scores circulating of the 1999 NBA Finals. Dude, it was a struggle for teams to score 70. I mean, the Knicks scored 67 in a game. People are like, I missed 90s basketball. Do you? The Jordan's Bulls played a Jazz team that struggled. I think they scored 58 in a Finals game. I think in that playoff run, they also had like a 62-point game against the Spurs, I want to say, the Jazz. I mean, yeah, 90s basketball was fun. Oh, I don't want to see a three-point contest. I'd much rather watch guys that can shoot from 25 feet out that are 7 feet tall than watching a bunch of dudes fight in the post and get a bunch of fouls called and tackle each other and have the game finish 80-67. That sucks. It's not basketball. Karl Anthony Towns has 6 points in 4 minutes, though. 48-28, the Spurs over the Knicks. 10-16 to go still in the second quarter. It is all Spurs in game four. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Four Spurs over the Knicks right now. It's all San Antonio. I mean, I'm watching this clip again of Jose Alvarado just trying to tackle Victor Wembanyama, then step over him. I mean, that's the thing, right? He said, like, oh, Wemby gets one when he threw Jalen Brunson down last game. I mean, this is what I expect. Wes, did I just nail the way this game was going to go, or did I nail the way this game was going to go?
Oh, you nailed it.
Thank you. That's all I really wanted to hear.
Now we're just waiting for two fights.
Right. We haven't had actual fights, but we're getting close to that. I mean, if this game keeps going this way.
There will be no game in the fourth quarter.
Right. They're just going to send everybody home. And be like, you know what? Forget it. This is all done right now. I mean, look, the mental side of sports is really, really important. And it gets overlooked until it's just staring you in the face, and we're seeing it right now. You got Jose Alvarado now on the bench with his arms crossed, pouting like a child that didn't get candy in the candy aisle. And, you know, Karl Anthony Towns got in foul trouble early. A lot of Mitchell Robinson out there missing free. Oh, my God. What a huge three from Jalen Brunson. And they're not going to count it, are they?
They're reviewing it.
Yeah, they're going to. Oh, God.
Official
another review.
Again.
Oh, I told you. It's just all officials in this game because they're nervous. I'm telling you. They are nervous because, yep, here another review. And listen, they're being thorough in that sense. So I'll give you that because this is beyond. Like, you can't let this game get out of control. But, oh, my God.
I don't understand. What are they calling?
I think they're trying to see. All right, so let's watch the replay here. Because it's a foul off the ball.
Off ball, yeah.
So it's where is it? Did the foul happen before Jalen Brunson shot?
It might have.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Was it Luke Kornet? I mean, this is just. Again, they're going back to check another replay. Here we go, another commercial. So we can just. Hey, the final season of the Bears coming up. Now you want to talk about that? Do you watch the Bear at all? You ever watch that show?
No, but there's a movie that you should watch. It's in theaters right now.
I will not watch that stupid, psychotic movie that you saw that you were literally had nightmares from, like a 10-year-old that watched, I don't know, trying to think of any other scary. I'm not a scary
Wall-E.
Movie guy anyway. Do you still have nightmares about that movie, by the way?
About Wall-E or Obsession?
It's Wall-E. No, Obsession, stupid.
Yeah, of course.
Of course you do. It's just.
I'm making my sister go watch it. It's not fair.
What if people just don't listen to you and say, I will not watch this movie that has scenes where people are covering their eyes in the movie theater?
The thing is, look at the box office.
I don't care about
$200 million. The movie budget wasn't even a million.
I know. And listen, I think it was $750,000. I looked it up when you and I were talking about it the other day on the show. And I just don't. Here's the thing. Those types of movies. And what actually helps, and it's you. It's you talking about it and saying, oh, you should see this scene. There's this morbid curiosity that people have.
No, like, I know. It's like a car crash.
I got to watch it. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I got to see it, even though you can find it on Reddit. I won't. I just don't. I just don't need to. It's like injuries in a game that you don't want to watch a replay of. Same thing. I don't need to see it. The Kevin Ware injury years ago, Louisville against Duke.
I was watching
Duke
that live.
I saw it live too. Didn't need to see it again. The what's his face? Hayward. Come on,
Jason Hayward.
Jason Worth. Jason Worth.
So he was in right field once, and he dove for a ball, and his wrist snapped.
Yeah, he had that. Well, I mean, listen, Alex Smith's injury is one that's obvious where I'm just like, don't need to see that again. I mean, Theismann, you know. Yeah, but anything like that, it's like, here's now they don't show the replays as much, which I think is just the better choice. I don't know where you draw the line, though, of like, we'll show the replay versus we don't show the replay. But I think
I draw the line when it's in the head area, head and neck area. That's what I can't do.
Yeah, but you don't really like seeing a leg snap in half and pop out of the skin. That's a little more.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, the Celtics player.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was first game of the season.
Cam Hayward.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
Not Cameron Hayward. Cam Hayward plays for the Steelers. Oh. Why am I forgetting? Is he playing the NBA? Why am I having a complete brain fart?
Cam Hayward went to Ohio State.
Yes, did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Can you please look this up for me? Yes. Hayward Celtics injury. Just type it into Google so we can figure out this brain fart, because I'm getting probably yelled at by people right now that don't want to hear this.
Are you ready? Gordon!
Yes. Gordon Hayward, thank you. I mean, come on, I should know that. It's not like he wasn't a freaking all-star. You know, you're having those brain farts and you just can't. That was me at that point. That was it. Knicks are having a brain fart right now, too, at this point. This is bad, man. This is a bad. I mean, it is. This really could not have gone any worse for the Knicks. Down 59-34, under 7 minutes to go in the first half of this game. Down after the first quarter, 41-22. Karl Anthony Towns had two fouls in the first 2 minutes, and they've just gone through centers like socks. And Mitchell Robinson's getting a flagrant, throwing an elbow into Victor Wembanyama's face and going back to the free throw line. Still won't shoot granny style. Here he goes again.
They're taking advantage, though.
Of course they are.
What is
this
guy's free throw? Oh.
It is unbearable.
What am I looking at?
Like, Mitchell Robinson should be required to shoot granny style. He should be required
to
shoot
criminal.
It. That's criminal. It's insane how bad it is.
Hold on.
I mean,
I don't.
And you know what? You're ahead of me
too.
But
oh my goodness, that's worse than Shaq.
Right.
That's crazy. Hey,
right? At this point, shouldn't he be required to shoot granny style?
I don't understand. You make millions of dollars. Go get better. What is he doing on his free time? Video games?
Listening to us? Some guys just can't shoot free throws. But it's like there's no rhythm to it. You know, there's no arc.
He's
throwing it at the rim. He should be required to shoot granny style. I will say this time and time again. Again, anybody shooting under 50%, it should be automatic. But 59-34, because, of course, Mitchell Robinson can't hit a free throw, so the Knicks didn't score anything there, and we're just going to have a blowout. That's it. Like, we're down to just a blowout in this game, which is just brutal. You know, this is just... Oh, man. You just want good games. Like, that's the most important thing. You just want good games, right? You want this to go seven games, fine, but you want good games. You want watchable games. This is not basketball. The first two games of the series were watchable. Even the last game, I understand there were missed calls. It was still watchable basketball. This is not basketball right now. Nick Ashew on the Fan. This song. Of course I know this song. You're like, guess who this is? You're going to see 50 Cent?
Yeah, he's the halftime performer at the UFL Championship.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nick Ashew on the Fan. We don't have a basketball game right now. It's mostly just
commercials.
A fight. Well, no actual fights, but it's mostly Victor Wembanyama just trolling the Knicks. Goaltending being missed. Look, I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy, but you just watch more and more of these clips. Missed goaltendings. It really, really feel. We're going to replay after replay because these officials know the spotlight's on them, and they have been just the venom and the. But at the same time, you're still seeing blatantly missed calls, goaltendings that are so obvious. It doesn't feel like a game. Like, this just is a horrible game to watch right now. The first three games of this series. Oh, AJ Dabonsa. There you go. Potential wizard talking to Adam Silver. It's like, Adam Silver's like, do you want to be the face of the league? We can give you these same calls if you go to the Wizards. Make sure you get the same calls that Wemby's getting. How about that, Wes? Victor Wembanyama calls for AJ Dabonsa.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, that's right. We can't just have one guy as the face of the league. You got to have a conversation for a while. Maybe AJ Dabonsa's that guy, although Darren Peterson may still be the number one overall pick.
I was also thinking for the Nats, they get 10 ABS challenges per game.
This game is just slogged on. It's 59-38, Spurs up with 5:53 to go in the second quarter.
Oh, wow.
And it's just, oh, great. So you're ahead of me. So I know I'm going to see something that's going to probably just piss. It's just
it's not going to piss you off.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's just, is that another shot?
Hey, I mean,
oh, my gosh.
He deserved it.
Devin Vassell just
nice shot.
A jump ball tipped around. It's like they're playing volleyball. It goes right to him in the corner, 62-38. I mean, this is, Devin Vassell is 4-for-4 from three in this game. Good God. I mean, it's just, it's hard to watch basketball like this. It really is. If the Knicks implode and lose this series, they're trading for Giannis right after this and before the draft, or during the draft. I mean, whatever. Again, the Bucks are waiting. The Bucks are like, let's see how the finals go before we get all of our final offers. And I would too, because right now, you know, after the first two games, Karl Anthony Towns was the finals MVP. And doesn't look like it now. And the Knicks have to decide, do you want to pay him or you let him go for nothing? And they're willing to give up some draft picks and sign Giannis to an extension. And, you know, he's going to miss some time. He doesn't have Anthony Davis injury issues. But, I mean, Giannis has had some injury issues over the year. I mean, this past season was a little different because, you know, we knew he wasn't going to play and the Bucks were terrible and it was just a complete disaster all around. And you thought he was going to get traded by the deadline anyway. So it's like, let's make sure he stays healthy. We all knew what was going on there, but if the Knicks don't have somebody that can compete with, you know, like a Victor Wembanyama, not that Giannis can completely, but like that's somebody that's a great rim protector and you're going to add a lot more athleticism there. And yeah, I mean, he's a two-time MVP. You know what he brings to the table, but I could see the Knicks just giving everything to the Bucks for Giannis. And that may not even be the best offer though. That's the thing. I mean, if the Thunder decide they want to move on from Chet and try to put him in the hole, into the trade, and the Bucks are like, yeah, we'll take him even though he's terrible in game 7, he gets some other pick. The Knicks have random dudes on the court right now too, by the way. I mean, they're going so deep because of all of the foul trouble that they're dealing with right now. I mean, it is Jeremy Sohan's out there. He never plays anymore for them. Ariel Hakpoti is out, has played 3 minutes for the Knicks. I mean, this is,
what do you think the Spurs win percentage on ESPN is right now?
Win percentage, like what, in games played on ESPN?
No, in the, like, win percentage right now in this game.
Oh, you mean win probability?
Yeah. Oh yeah, win probability.
I'm gonna guess it's probably 99.9%.
It was 96, just okay. Jumped up to 97.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because here's the thing. We've seen comebacks in this series. We've seen comebacks in the playoffs. Basketball is a game of runs, but you have to have a team that's capable of making those runs. And the Knicks aren't playing basketball right now. They're looking for any spark that they can get off their bench with short Sohan out there right now, taking just one. I mean, this guy hasn't played bad. That was one of the worst turnarounds I've ever seen. Like, this isn't a regular season game. Jeremy Sohan is not going to be your spark plug. I know he's a former Spur. This is just, they look desperate.
All right, so let's say in this situation, you know, let's say the Spurs tie this series up. If you're the Knicks, how do you move forward?
Well, the first
thing, it's
not like
you're down in the series.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing right now. All the momentum and the whole mental edge is all on San Antonio, and you're heading back home. So if you're the Knicks, you've got to figure out how to get back locked into playing your brand of basketball, moving the ball. There's a lot of ISO ball in this. They're not, I mean, again, game three, they had 18 assists. That was their second lowest total in a game the entire season. They turned the ball over 13 times. It turned into 21 Spurs turnovers. You know you're not going to get the calls. You know Wemby's going to get the calls. So you've got to find a way to alternate the way that you're playing and stop looking at this as like, let's push Wemby around and see if we're going to get calls. You're not going to get in his head. He is in your head right now. Accept it and move forward and alter the way that you are. They have to get back to their basketball because they got in Wemby's head the first two games, and the Spurs, like, they looked worn down. You could tell Wemby looked tired. He looked beat up. But it wasn't the level of physicality that we've, like, had in this game. I mean, it's just like, you know, Jalen Brunson just steps up there and pull a 26-foot pull-up jumper. I mean, this is just not there. What made the Knicks so great at their best brand of basketball was they were moving the ball around. Karl Anthony Towns was getting involved. I mean, that's one of the things. He's got to get out of foul trouble. They've got to move the ball more. He looks like he doesn't even belong on the court right now, and he's been almost non-existent. Josh Hart was terrible the first two games and had a great game three, but role players play better at home, so you got that out of him. So what do the role players look like on the road for the Knicks? Like, do they? That's, I know that's not a guarantee that that's going to be the case, but you got to think about that too. God, it's 71-42. I mean, this is just not, it's not even a game right now. It's unwatchable. I don't even, this game doesn't even deserve to have people stay up for it tonight, especially after the monster ratings Game 3 had. It was the most watched Game 3 in, what, 28 years, and most watched event on live TV since the Super Bowl, and that's all great. People are turning this thing off at halftime. I mean, if you're not a Knicks or a Spurs fan, you're probably turning this damn thing off at halftime. It's just unwatchable. It's an unwatchable game right now. Whatever. The show's done anyway. I'm just going to close my eyes and go.
Show's over.
I mean, yeah. Well, it's just like you want to. These are the last few games of the NBA Finals. You know, we've had a great start to the series. And listen, there's blowouts all through the NBA playoffs. I get it. They're going to happen. But we've had a really good NBA playoffs. This has not been it. It's just, you know, it's all about the refs, and they're going to the replays, but they're still missing key moments in this, and it's goaltendings that are getting missed, and Wemby's out there running his mouth, and the Knicks are like, well, we'll tackle you. How about you take that? And it's like, okay, fine, tackle me, and then it's a flagrant foul. And I'm like, what are we doing? It's just not basketball, man. Is that Ron Harper there? Ron Harper's there, too. See Dylan Harper. Dylan Harper's his son. Ron Harper was a bucket before he got to the Bulls. People forget. Clippers and Cavs, Ron Harper, he was getting you over 20 a game. Yeah, watching his son there. Seeing all these age stars, Larry Johnson, Marcus Camby, Latrell Sprewell, John Starks. Man, makes you remember, right? Back in the day. Oh, it's just not, it's not the Knicks night, to say the least. Wes, great stuff, buddy. Even though you couldn't get the starting lineups on the air. Thanks a lot for that. Knicks down 71-43, so there's that. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.